That scratchy sound you hear comes from a violin. No special effects, just a bow on strings. The sound is produced by a technique called the chop. The chop arrived on the music scene about 50 years ago, and slowly, this odd little noise has taken the fiddle-playing world by storm and changed the way the instrument is played today. Amelia Mason from member station WBUR explains.
So you can get some nice kind of ska rhythms going. Basically, what we're getting here, we're modeling the hi-hat and snare of a drum kit.
That's Daryl Anger. He's a fiddle player, one of the best in the world. I've caught him at his soon-to-be former home in Arlington as he prepares to move back to his home state of California. Right now, he's in full professor mode, keeping a running commentary as he demonstrates a technique that he's become known for, the chop.
It's like almost like the point of the shovel going into the dirt or something. The bow comes down, sits on the string, and then you get another sound by kind of bringing the bow back up off the string. Thusly, so I'm actually just
Anger makes the chop look simple, but that small sound has kind of defined his career. In 1985, he co-founded a group called the Turtle Island String Quartet in San Francisco.
We wanted to do everything. We wanted to, in the context of a string quartet, we wanted to prove that the string quartet was capable of any kind of music, even contemporary music. And so the chop became, the drums and bass and rhythm guitar.
Anger developed the chop into a really versatile rhythmic tool. Today, it's everywhere, in bluegrass, jazz, and Celtic music. When I was learning to play the fiddle as a teenager in the early 2000s, chopping was huge. Since then, I've wanted to know, how'd that happen? How did someone figure out a totally new way of playing an instrument that's been around for centuries?
My name is Richard Green. And I'm the infamous inventor of the chop, which is now utilized by virtually millions of fiddlers around the planet. And obviously, I'm a little bit proud of that.
Richard Green is a fiddle player from Los Angeles. He got one of his first gigs back in 1966 with Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. But Green says he wasn't very good at the fiddle. He kept rushing the music. So Monroe told him to stick with rhythm, which was physically demanding and hard to keep up for very long.
So I dropped the bow on the near the frog as a way of just resting my painful wrist and arm.
By the way, the frog is the end of the bow that you hold.
And then when I would lift the bow up, there was a free sound, the pinch on the string. So that was how it began. Drop the bow and pinch, and it takes no energy whatsoever. The mother of this invention was pain and laziness.
After his stint with the Bluegrass Boys, Green helped found a band called Sea Train, and that's where he began incorporating the chop into more complex bowing patterns. Daryl Anger remembers seeing the band in the early 70s.
He was using it as sort of this bravura kind of solo thing. Like the band would stop, and he'd like go crazy, and he'd chop all over the place. It was great. And then the band would come back in and people would scream and, just do whatever it is people do when they're in ecstasy. And I was in ecstasy. It was amazing. It was like it changed my life.
Soon, Anger was using the chop and teaching it to friends who taught it to their friends. By the 2000s, the chop was a full-blown phenomenon. It had a huge presence in Boston and traveled from the U.S. to Canada and Europe. It was also sort of a hot-button issue. Some musicians thought it was too modern. Others found it showy and obnoxious. But chop inventor Richard Green says it's really just part of a trend in acoustic music toward experimentation and, well, noise.
The world of noise is now added to the world of musical instruments. It's great to add noise to fiddle, to the violin. It's a great thing. It gives it some life, gives it some grit.
It's Tuesday, Bluegrass Night at the Cantab Lounge in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Things are winding down. People are milling around in the half-lit bar. Fiddler Patrick McGonigal has just finished playing.
I was chopping. I was doing two different types of chop.
McGonigal says when he first learned how to chop, he used it all the time. But that started to get old, and like a lot of people, he uses it sparingly now.
Dare Langer had a great quote once, which was, teaching people to chop is like giving people a knife. It's a very useful tool, but it's also very dangerous if used improperly. And I feel like that's kind of how I think about the chop.
Do you think it's here to stay?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Maybe the chop is the auto-tune of the string world. For a while, it was all the rage, and you either loved it or hated it. And now, like electric guitars and synthesizers and holograms of dead pop stars, it's just part of the landscape, like it's been here all along. For Here and Now, I'm Amelia Mason.